You turn to the book of 1 Kings, in the last chapter of 1 Kings. The last chapter of 1 Kings, it is, if you remember, as we looked in 1 and 2 Samuel, so in 1 and 2 Kings, there are technically one book, and yet divided here, because of scrolls had to be divided. And so here we're in 1 Kings 22, so it's the last of 1 Kings. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 40. So not the entire chapter, but most of the chapter. Verses 1 through 40 of 1 Kings chapter 2. This is God's word. 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? We are still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram." And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." And the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on each on his throne, arrayed in their robes at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chena'anah, made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are consumed." All the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold, now the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I shall speak." When he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." And the king said to him, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace.'" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one said this, while another said that. And a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' The Lord said to him, 'How?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'You are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you.' Then Zedekiah the son of Chena'anah came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'How did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?' Micaiah said, 'Behold, you shall see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself.' And the king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely.' Micaiah said, "If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he said, "Listen, all you people." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, saying, "Do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone." And so when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "Surely it is the king of Israel." And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. When the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded." The battle raged that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans and died at evening. And the blood from the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Then a cry passed throughout the army close to sunset, saying, "Every man to his city and every man to his country." So the king died and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria. They washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. Now the harlots bathed themselves there, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he built, and all the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, became king in his place. And that is God's word. So again, we're still, as we said a couple chapters ago, we're dealing with the word of Yahweh. And whether or not Ahab will heed the word of the Lord. There seems to be some peace in the northern kingdom. 3 years, I think it said. Verse 1, 3 years passed between Aram and Israel fighting. And Jehoshaphat from the southern kingdom in Judah. In case we've forgotten about Judah, it's been a long time in the northern kingdom. Jehoshaphat is king there, and he has come down, from the southern kingdom to Ahab, to the northern kingdom. And there has been some of the northern kingdom taken from the east in Ramoth-Gilead, and they want to take it. Ahab wants to take it back. But Jehoshaphat says, "Please inquire first of the word of the Lord." You see that Ahab's first inclination is not to do that. And Jehoshaphat is showing that we shouldn't do anything without seeking the Lord first in all things, especially in these things. So here again, will Ahab seek and heed the word of Yahweh? So what does Ahab do? He gathered all his prophets, not the Lord's prophets. He gathered his prophets, which are false prophets. And they said, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead." But Jehoshaphat wants an orthodox word. He wants a word from the Lord, not a word from false prophets. And so we see that Micaiah comes. He speaks the word of the Lord. Verse 15, where Micaiah comes at first, he says, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Now we can tell what he means when we read then verse 17. It seems that verse 15 is Micaiah sarcastically saying, "Go up and succeed. Go up to Ramoth-Gilead." Verse 17, he says very clearly, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd." A people who has no king. And the Lord said, "These have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace." The verse 16 actually shows that Ahab has had to ask the prophet, this prophet Micaiah, who's speaking evil against him every time, it seems. He's had to ask this prophet multiple times to do this. He says, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And so Micaiah has come before and done this same or similar thing. Each time Micaiah is asked, he gives the answer of the false prophets. Ahab's prophets. Ahab asked for the truth. And Micaiah changes from sarcasm to a sober, true message. And Ahab denies it. Verse 17 says that Israel has no Ahab. They have no king. And they, when they have no Ahab, they will have peace. Why does Micaiah continually then employ this sarcasm with Ahab? And it's for us, for God's people who are reading this, and for any who would hear this. Ahab is going to do what Ahab is going to do, and he wants to do, no matter what he is told. The word of Yahweh is irrelevant to Ahab. And that's what's being revealed to us. And that's revealed to us in verses 19 to 23. As the Lord has done this, so that disaster will come against Ahab. And so what does the faithful prophet Micaiah receive for this? Being faithful and proclaiming the word, even though he has never, his word, the Lord's word through him, is never received properly. Here he receives a strike on the cheek, thrown in prison. He's fed bread and water. And it says, verse 27, until Ahab returns safely. Well, Micaiah knows that he's not going to return safely, because he knows the word of the Lord. And so he says, and before that, when Zedekiah said what he said, behold, you shall see. What is it that proves what a prophet says is true? What actually happens if their word comes to fruition? That proves a prophet true or false. And so Ahab says, until I return safely, he's going to be in prison, he's going to have bread and water. And Micaiah says, verse 28, if you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. He would be a false prophet if Ahab would come back. As we look at verses 29 to 38, we see the certainty of Yahweh's word. That even when trying to be deceptive, Ahab covers himself. He doesn't look like a king. He doesn't have the great robes like Jehoshaphat. He puts on Jehoshaphat. And so what did the Arameans do? First, they went after Jehoshaphat because he had the kingly robes. You kill the king, you would scatter the armies. They would have no leader. And so then they found out that it wasn't Ahab, and so they stopped pursuing Jehoshaphat. And it says, I love this, verse 34, now a certain man drew his bow at random, and it struck Ahab. At random. And yet it's not really random. That word is almost being brought out because it's showing us that it's not even close to being random, because God has already prophesied in chapter 21, verse 19, that Ahab would die, and his blood, as it is in this passage, is going to be licked up by the dogs. And God's word is fulfilled again. The no-name prophet, Elijah, now Micaiah, we're all right. Ahab has not heeded the word of Yahweh, and so he has fallen, and he died. So as a summary of Ahab's life is revealed in the last two verses, you see, every time a king dies in Israel or Judah, they have the summary verse, right? Notice that all these accomplishments, some of them, all that he did, the ivory house which he built, all the cities which he built, we have never heard of that. We've never been revealed that at all. You would think we would have heard something about that, but here we're learning a lesson. Those things are trivial compared to the word of Yahweh. We've been taught in the last few chapters that the word of Yahweh, when it is ignored, will come great curses and judgments. What we regard as significant and prizes that we regard there to be mundane. So repent and turn from such things like Ahab was doing and his thoughts about the word. Return rather to the Lord and heed his word. Heed his word, in which he is faithful to keep all of his promises, even those he promises of death to those who do not take rightly what he says. And that is a message that we'll hear in a moment as well. The sovereign word of the Lord when we come to John. So heed the word of the Lord, you'll become like Ahab. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we do thank you and praise you for this, your word. We thank you that for the clear indication words in here, like the word random, and then even Micaiah saying that you shall see. Father, we thank you for these things. We thank you that it is very clear that Ahab did not heed your word, and so it's very clear to us that those who do not heed your word are cursed and judged. Father, we pray that you would enable us to be men and women and children who heed your word, who listen, who hear, who take it into ourselves, into our minds, into our hearts, and we live it out and believe in faith what is said by you. Or let us not seek the word of men. Let us seek the word of the Lord and meditate upon it day and night and take our delight in it. Let us not fall to the curses that are similar to Ahab and even have dogs lick up our blood. Father, this day we do give you great praise. For you're a God who has brought us all here to worship you. You have enabled us to do so. And yet, we do pray for those who are struggling with their health. We do pray for Patty and her cold. We do pray that you would be with those who can constantly struggle with their bodies. Like Bob and Marie and Sharon and Dina. And Father, we do ask that you would heal them and strengthen their bodies. Our Father, we do give you all praise for the wonderful blessing that you have given to this church and giving another covenant child to us by John and Lillian. We ask that you would keep them safe and healthy. We do already recognize that such child is a covenant child, it is a living child, and it is part of this covenant community already. Father, we ask that you would cause it to be, just as we have prayed many times for the children of our congregation, we pray for this particular child, that you would not allow one day that they would know without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. That if it be your will, that you would save them at the earliest of ages, even perhaps as you did with John the Baptist in the womb, if that is possible. Surely not ordinary. But Lord, that may they not know what it is to be apart from you. We do pray that. And we are hopeful because of your promises, as well for all of our children. We do pray for those who have wandered from the faith. Call them back to yourself. Send your Spirit and change their heart. And Father, as we continue worshiping this evening, we ask that you would bless our worship. Give us your sovereign word. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.